By family now to the president, aren't they? Well, I'm not sure what I said. Okay. Delhi knows what I mean to nobody
else but that. Each entity will have a certified person, and then we will engage. We have a short life support, and yes, and then I will go to
Chairperson, since you're talking election and politics, can I ask when is Honourable Alice going to be given an opportunity to go to your office and measurable curtains and furniture and stuff like that?
I'll miss why you vote for
it. He can buy his own time. If you're not in politics, you become very creative and initiate your own. So you don't have to.
And this law will enable the users of the this wealth that you brought back to pay. Because it's a use of patience to prevent an applicant here. And we hope that come end of November, first week of December, this act will be in force and people will be able to talk of this issue. This kind of decisive leadership is what our country needs for its economic growth and for its social growth. With that, we thank you very much. I want to hand over to the chairman. Thank you very much.
And the comments about the trust of leadership of the president.
The trust of leadership, yes. The
trust of leadership
is not the issue of the president.
And that's not political.
And it is always done by the president. And Parliament has passed against the president. So he is the president.
Fastest speech.
So, thank you very much. To the national vice president.
Provide compulsory cover to all road users,
against injuries, fatal death, arising from or on use of the vehicle. There are various constitutional or ruling or legal precedents which have shaped our mandate. The most popular would be the one related to the legal matter where the committee actually passed the Constitutional Provisions Act earlier this year, and there are scheduled here in national health against it. Our business revolves around road use. On one hand, our revenue is funded by fuel aid, which is currently 96 cents per liter sold, which is our primary source of income. And also related to road use, you therefore have the risk of accident arising. Those generate claims which are value and volume in a particular year. Our business process centers around processing claims. We do so in five key steps. Maybe we originate the claim. This is bring the claim from the outside world to the RF. We do that by our call center, by our regional offices, our hospital-based offices, as well as by electronic facilities like email. We then determine the value of the claim to proceed with litigation. As members of the committee know, currently 90% of RF matters are definitive. We finalize the payment, and we deal with what claimants actually know us best for, which is the post-finalization claim, namely ongoing medical and rehabilitation support once the initial payment has been made. This is supported by various corporate work streams which are captured on the right-hand side of the slide. By way of service infrastructure, as I mentioned, we have 2,000 employees throughout the country. Our head office is in Centurion. We then have five regional processing centers in Victoria, Johannesburg, Durban, Cape Town. We established in the last financial year an office in Nelspruit, and the four provinces where we didn't have an office. We are in the process of rolling that out. We're actually dealing with the lease, procuring the leases now. Mafikeng Group continues to require that. We then also have a call center, a website, a Twitter handle, and a Facebook account, which are proving to be very popular. Our context relates to road use and crashes. I think as members of the committee and colleagues know, the arrangement is 70 years old. In 1942, the government of that day put in place an arrangement to protect wrongdoers from being sued if they were in a crash. The compensation is still fault-based based on our law. You have to first prove fault before you are entitled to claim. This doesn't promote the greatest degree of equity, because families were affected by crashes where fault wasn't that they had been excluded. Rulings and orders are not always consistent, and there is a great deal of subjectivity when courts and lawyers are called upon to determine the value of the claim. There's a microeconomy which we are familiar with, which has been created by the fund. We currently spend 3.6 billion rand on this microeconomy annually, and these professionals rely on the fund for their sources of income. And as we've heard from various deputy judge presidents from the country, almost 50% of matters in any of the different courts relates to the RF. So if we reduce the volume of RF matters going through courts, if we move to process legislation, which makes it social security, we will immediately make the justice system more efficient by reducing its workload. And I think what we are all familiar with is that claimants are not often the primary beneficiary of money paid by RF. Our social context, without going into the detail, we are part of the social security structure of our government. There are similar entities, which would be the UIF, COIA, and SASA. But our scope as RAF is much wider than this. Where the UIF and COIA are funded by people who will benefit from it, so people who are employed make contributions, and when they need it, they then call them up to enjoy the benefit. With the RAF, you basically have people who may never have contributed, so pedestrians who may never have bought benefits. Maybe injured in a crash and we call them upon claim. So our beneficiary base is unlimited. The amount of money we pay are not limited as in the case of UIF. And unlike these other entities, we protect you for loss of income, support for households, as well as medical costs, which makes RAF a benefit level, the widest structure within the confines of our public service. And as we know, our funding doesn't relate to that. Unfortunately, and I think it's important that we always remind ourselves that the RAF doesn't have the greatest service. For many decades, it has carried a legacy partly to the scheme, which is related to its compensation scheme that has revenue which is not related to its expenses. It's insolvent and bankrupt. These would be the headlines every year in October. But for 31 years, the RAF has been technically insolvent. This is not a new phenomenon. It's because of an actuarial provision on our balance sheet. It's often seen as a lawyer's business,
the management followed by the guidance of this committee and the Minister of Transport, committed to create itself to make a change, to create a new legacy, which is one of the delivery services efficiently and effectively to people with crashes who need the support. And early signs of the change are visible in the annual report, which I will now need to give you. So, Chairperson, if you look at how the business did in 2012 and 2013, there are various statistics which I will run through in the next slide. If we focus on the 2012-13 column, our fuel levy was 88 cents in that financial year. Our revenue increased 17.9 billion rand, compared to 17.1 billion the year before. We did notice a slight slowdown in the increase in our revenue. This main part related to how expensive petrol became in the middle of 2012-13. Our loss on our income statement reduced quite significantly from 16.5 billion rand in 2011 to 4.9 billion rand last year. The EBIT on our balance sheet increased slightly from 46 billion rand to 51, which is considerably smaller than the increase of 29 billion rand in the 2010-11 financial year. Our total exposure to future payments or past claims, so accidents which have happened in the past, where we just need to know what they were. That has grown from 72 billion rand to 82. And that would be a 6.4 billion rand growth in our claim provision on our balance sheet. I think importantly, in terms of service delivery, our claims expenditure for the year increased markedly from 12 billion rand to 15.2 billion rand in 2012-13. Of that, 15.4 was compensation payments, which is a lot higher than 8.9 billion before, showing that we were actually making more payments in the two claims. 4 billion rand went on general damages, 6.3 billion rand was on income support, and 1 billion rand was spent on medical costs for claimants, which would be the post-crash cash flow development. Our cash holding at the end of the year was 6.1 billion, and we had made more individual claim payments, transactions, than in the year before. We actually made 237,000 payments last year. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure reduced by 10% to 20 million rand. And your irregular expenditure reduced by markedly from 7 million rand to 4.3 million rand in the financial year. I know that members of the committee have our financial annual report. I will just touch on key aspects of the various sheets. If we look first and foremost at our balance sheet, our asset base increased to 10.7 billion rand. Our liabilities increased to 62 billion rand. But what is noteworthy, if you look at our liabilities over the last 3 years, the total liability increased from 34 to 54 2 years ago. So a 20 billion rand increase. And we managed to control that quite nicely to only 62 billion rand in the last year. I will explain where those increases are coming from. If we look at our income statement, our revenue, as I mentioned, was 17.6. Our expenses were a total of 16.379 billion rand when you include our admin expenses. And the loss on our income statement was 5.1 billion, which is much smaller than the 16 that I mentioned in the year before. Now, the reason why you have these big deficits, big liabilities, is that actuarial forecast I mentioned. This sheet, which is a note in our financials, really explains, basically says, if today you have to pay for every single accident which has ever happened before today, how much will it cost you? Not all of that would be a valid claim. That is what we call the IBNR, the terms are not important. Some of those would relate to the claims already have on our how much would that cost? I think the history in 31 years, the RAS has never been called upon to make this projection in 1 year. It does never. So of that 82 billion rand, 22 is a provision for possible claims, 60 is what they have on our balance sheet, and it's about 8 billion rand, 10 billion rand higher than the year before. Where that movement comes in, where it moved from 72 to 82, the top of it relates to interest. Part of the actuarial model is each year you need to now assume what the new medical expenses will be. So you add inflation to it, goes for the future, even though the accident is in the past. And the bulk of the 10 billion rand relates to interest. There were some court rulings, Pai Zhao, which we had advised the committee of early in the financial year. Basically, in this case, boyfriends and girlfriends who lived together were now attacked. So, not spouses, but life partners. And and relationships where there was a dependency in the same household. And because of that, we needed to add another 1 million rand on our producer. It's important when we talk about the legislation that we appreciate that there is a need to remove the barriers in a tail of 1 million. So, committee members, there was also 2.5 billion rand what actuaries for unexpected increase. This is really just based on the average value of claims that people which they then project forward. So as you can see, the bulk of the actuarial provision relates to interest, court ruling, and the cost of claims as you go in right now. Again, the 82 billion rand is not a debt which has fallen to. It's really a projection of what you require. If we look at it, because I keep referring to 31 years, this chart shows you our provision, that actuarial population in view, and then our deficit on the balance for the last 32 years. And what you can see is that over time, the blue and the green lines have departed from what would be the red and the orange lines of the chart. Red and orange is what we actually hear and what we actually doing. The blue and the green is what they actually forecast. And it's proven for 32 years that you will never see the liability fall due in any one particular year. Now, interestingly enough, in the accounting policy we use, public entities or government departments that provide social benefits actually don't project future. I mean, the equivalent would be saying that SASA should show you what future payments they will make for every citizen who is currently alive and Medicare. I mean, that's just astronomical. If we move on a little forward, I think really just to say at the cash flow statement level, we have 6.1 billion rand. We accumulated 1.9 during the course of the year. If we look at the level variances, I think the main column to focus on would be the one on the right. Other revenues are investment income. Because of the cash we had, we saw an increase in the income, the investment income for the year. And the deficit that I mentioned reduced quite significantly from the 16 billion rand to the 5.1 billion rand. At the level of our balance sheet, it's good that our assets are growing faster than the liability, but remembering that the liability is a much bigger number, so you won't see the two come close together from the bank. Chairperson, if we look at claims, because that is what our business is about, this chart is taken from my annual report, shows you the process. We received 150,000 claims last year. This number continues to drop because of the change in the law in 2008. It basically takes 9 years. We processed 162,000, and there are about 279,000 claims which go between. A lot of those 279, in fact 51,000, relate specifically to paying lawyers for costs. It's strange, we met the Law Society 2 weeks ago, and only in the RF domain are lawyers not eager to claim for their costs. In all other disciplines of law, cost is what you survive on. But in the RF, we actually have, I think, a total of 80,000 bills, which are laying way to be taxed and for the lawyers to claim for that end, which suggests that the money being made are not always related to the costs of the legal services, but also the contingencies. But what is very impressive is this number at note number 14, or reference 14. In 2012, we had 248,000 claims still needed to pay. And we reduced that number by 15% to 212,000 in the last financial year. Which means more people who needed for us to compensate them received the compensation. It also talks to the measures we put in place to make ourselves more efficient. What it suggests that if we keep up at this stage, we can reduce this number to a minimum, which is what we are supposed to do with RF. So our entire operation is focused on making this number drop even further. I won't go into the detail of this slide, but just to point out some of the numbers to give members of the committee an idea of how many people we tackle annually. When you look at the 15 billion rand we spent, of the general damages, which would be the money for pain and suffering, we pay 26,000 people's claims. It's a lot lower than 46,000 a year before, 57 before that, because of the change in the law, when minor injuries are not excluded. If we look at loss of earnings, this is so when people come here for the engine and also support to bring them around. We assisted 8,600 people and 4,600 families or related people related to the families. And in terms of funerals, I think this is where one is reminded of what the president said when the highway was opened in the Limpopo 2 years ago. That 4 people die every day on our roads, about 14,000. We can't continue to have this surge of road crashes continue in our life. And almost half of those funerals we paid for the army. So we paid for 6,300 funeral claims in the last financial year, which shows you the extent to which people in our country rely on the services of our race. Just by way of a breakdown, we are very pleased to report to the committee that in the last 5 years, compensation, this is what the person receives, has increased by almost 3 billion rand. It went up from 8.5 to 11.4 billion rand in the last 5 years. The legal fees have increased by 1 billion rand, but in the last 2 or 3 years, we've actually seen that green bar remain relatively flat. That I suggest, because a few claims come in, that the legal fees per claim are going up. And that is something we need to be aware of. This chart shows the average value of claims. Since 2009, our average payment per claim has gone from 50,000 rand to a little over 64,000 rand. Interestingly enough, the average legal fee in the financial year was 68,000. So on average, if you look at what you pay, your legal fee on average exceeded what you pay the claim. And this is where we need to come back to the committee together with DOT and push for change in the legislation. Fraud, as I mentioned, is part of our legacy, something we need to manage. We have 5,100 files where possible fraud, where we had a support we needed to look at. 4,500 were finalized. We made 290 arrests in the last financial year and 234 convictions. 1,355 statements were obtained, and we still have about 6,600 files on hand. Any file where there's an irregularity, somebody questions an ID number, a surname and address, we send by our forensic team of almost 90 people. If you look at the value of those files, not suggesting they're all fraud, may all be fraud. But you're looking at about 300 million rand worth of files waiting to root out for extreme fraud. And then we do have a working relationship with CAPS as well as NPA. In fact, our partnership with NPA is about 8 years of age. At a management level, or strategic level, if you look at highlights, 2012 was deemed the year of customer. With the committee support, as Chris had commended the committee earlier, we also would like to take the opportunity to recognize how the committee passed the vote. Because we have the Constitutional Court which has set a deadline. We weren't meeting the third deadline, we got a 6-month extension. And I think it was between May and August that the committee pushed through, which is really commendable. We have actually seen claims now submitting bids for Mungo, so the building itself is in operation. The Supreme Court of Appeal rule that the court doesn't decide if an injury is serious. In many matters, I mentioned in the beginning that this interpretation is very subjective. The judge was called upon to determine if a medical condition was serious. Now, that is not the right way to do it, and I'm glad that the SDA found that. The High Court made a few rulings on contingency fees, ruling that to charge more than 25% above what the contingency fees act allows is illegal, which has permanently set the tax amount. Ran the Wrap on the Road campaign, which members of the committee have come to, where we take all our services into communities and we do them in halls and parks and tents. We did 15 in the year, service more than 8,000 claims and settled 102 million rand on site. We established our Millspring office, a face value just a walking center, it just looks like any other customer service center. But it's a very important office for us, because in this office, we basically perfected what we call direct sales, which is the processing of a claim by the lawyer. We proved in this office in between July and December that you can receive a claim, assess the claim, and pay within 6 months. So those processes that we formulated there are now being applied in all our offices to make sure that the process directly is better. And I can say that 1 in 5 claims which we now get attire, they don't use a burden. So we need to make sure we know. We put in place business processes in October last year across every single unit within the institution, and we now run our operations based on them. We cleared up organizational structure. Over the last few years, there were sort of two different formulations to what Graph wanted to be. We've refined that into one. Our turnaround times for paying claims has improved, and the number of payments, our individual employees made that increase, which you can see by the backlog reducing to 12,000. We implemented a standard operating procedure for the management of risk of execution. You never think that I would mention an SOP in a portfolio committee. But this little three-page document essentially saw us get a clean audit. Because what has been the bad bit in our audit has been the risk of execution and how we proceed. We reviewed all our paying powers so we know what we actually have to do. We put in place contracted bid templates. Issued various regulations to the DOT and the Minister of Transport, implemented new risk management software and the methodology. Our risk management methodology is now ISO 31,000, and we use a bureau system. We addressed 42 internal audit items, I think it's 42, which have persisted for more than a year, and our audit is due for the financial year. We achieved 86% of our APB targets compared to 53% of the year before. Our plan was revised by the Minister, and for complete mistake, we reviewed our performance against that plan and set it to 50%. Challenges, without taking too much time, would be the number of outstanding claims. We enhanced our activity, assessed the business processes, and improved our capacity. We have structured our performance with lawyers, and we have a panel of attorneys who we now manage tightly. The liability for claims incurred, as members of the group know, is always topical. We've appointed two separate actuaries who perform quarterly evaluations of that number to let us know how it's growing or changing and what the cause is. Because we do need to understand the number. The amount of money spent from lawyers is always a challenge. We implement the processes. We now have a litigation unit established in every region throughout the country. And we have a physical presence in court. So we actually have an RF employee who goes to each of our court cases to make sure we are not really wasting money with litigation. And then paying direct claims is something that we see as a challenge as well as a success, but it's something we will continue to work on. I had mentioned our APP performance. I think we already told the committee that the number of claims we engage at the roadshows per year and our employment equity target for disabled employees are the two where we partially achieved. And the one we didn't meet relates to reducing the deficit or the liability. The EPDs have been reviewed by the agency. In terms of the Auditor General's opinion, I think basically it's an unqualified opinion. There were no compliance findings. We satisfied our predetermined objectives. And in terms of internal control, the AG denied its findings, which we thought was quite an achievement for the financial year. In closing, our strategic framework, chairperson, members of the committee, is all centered around the four strategic objectives. We believe they are relevant, we believe we must continue with them. We shouldn't change these objectives. The first would be to put in place a legislative dispensation aligned to principles of social security. We can do the best we can under the right hand. But we need to improve the scratch. We need to reduce no fault. We need to make sure that there's equity. We need to make sure that there is a sustainable distribution. I think this is something we really want to see in the country. We need a solid, liquid, and sustainable RAF. With the change in law, you will address this. That really is it. Because you will now be providing a pure social security benefit with the ceiling that a person can receive. The third objective would be transform and capacitate RF. We need to manage our 2,000 employees. So big workforce, we need to make sure that they are aligned to these objectives and to our performance objectives. And the fourth of these objectives would be a customer-centric operation and effective energy scenario. We always need to improve our services. We need to deliver excellently to make sure that claimants receive what they're entitled to by them. We do have an APP currently, it's aligned to the previous one. There are 25 targets and we do monitor our performance quarterly, and we are implement our APP system. We wouldn't want to come back in a year and say, previously we meant 15%, now we meant 86%, and by the way, we would have to continue to improve our performance. We want to make sure that some of the new tariffs are also, because it requires new work. Our priorities operationally are to enhance the plan. People need to know about ours. The need for our services is great. And there are too many people who don't know that they're entitled to benefits through the ROF. We need to show optimal capacity to maintain efficient operational processes and costs, to improve our claim processing, to prioritize direct claims, to improve our litigation management, data collection, customer footprint, and to procure claim administration services and implement announcements to our claims. In conclusion, the RAF has not been in this location. I think that we all know, if you look back over 10, 20 years, it hasn't been in this location. Challenges, weaknesses, and risks were entrenched and often long-standing. Change is taking place and there is growing recognition of our mandate and our contribution. Great efforts is and will continue being placed on fulfilling our objectives, addressing the challenges and risks, providing efficient support to victims of road accidents, and preventing the catastrophic socioeconomic effects of accidents in our society. We would like 2030 to be the year we should share. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Jefferson. A few questions. The statistic that is perhaps the most newsworthy is your figure of 68,000 rand of legal fees as opposed to an average amount paid of 60,000. Can I just have some clarity on that? Whose legal fees are we talking about? Presumably it's the claimant, but can that just be cleared up? And then, in effect, what happens to those legal fees? I'd understood that they're not refundable by the RAF, and it just seems to indicate that most people actually pay out more than what they get in, which can't be right either. So can you just give us a little bit of information precisely how that system works, whose legal fees there are, and how it actually affects the individual claimant? My next question is... The slides aren't numbered, unfortunately, because not in the pack I've been given, so I can't tell you. But I think the presenter does know what page I'm... Then my second question is, and it's kind of alluded to on the page where there's like a banana almost ringed across the figures, and that is, how long does it actually take to pay out an average claim? Okay. And the reason I ask that is because I'd like to take up the issue you raised about the technical insolvency of the fund. 51 billion rand is a lot of money. It is very close to 5% of our national budget, which is just over a trillion rand. And you drew the analogy of Sasha, where you stated that Sasha did not provide in their balance sheet a provision for people who are going to be requiring welfare assistance in the future. And that is true, but I think the analogy is misleading. Because in the RAF's case, as I understood the presentation, the provision for the future is in fact those claims and interest that will be paid out and medical fees, obviously, to people who have already been in an accident. So they're individually known, and there are expenses to come in the years to come. Now, if you were in business, and you, for example, bought a building and took out a long-term bond for 20 years, you'd only have to make 1/20th of the payments in your first year. But in terms of generally accepted accounting practice, you'd be required to disclose the outstanding amounts on a bond which might be paid off in the last payment in 19 years' time, if you're talking the end of the first financial year. Likewise, if you're in a commercial enterprise and you have employees and they don't claim their leave, you have to put in a balance sheet a provision for unpaid leave, because it actually relates to an individual person and it's not yet paid out. So I would think that is a more accurate way of looking at it, that these claims relate to individual people and the cost that they're legally entitled to claim from you, that you are going to be paying out in future years. So the question then becomes, how does fund operate if the money that it has to pay out is actually far more than assets it has? And on that very same page, you indicate that the personal claims are, for this particular financial we're reporting on, 47,000 odd personal claims, and then lower down, you disclose the number of personal claims that are outstanding, and it's 236,000. It seems to me that there's 4.5 times more claims outstanding that actually ever come in one particular year, looking at this year as a baseline, which would indicate to me it takes up to 5 years, between 4 and 5 years, to get a claim paid out. And isn't that in fact how the fund enables to get through year by year, although it's technically insolvent, it simply is postponing those future costs as long as 5 years in the future, and in that way it can say we never have to pay it all out in 1 year. So I'm skeptical about the spin that's been put on this, because to me, there are real people involved here. I'll tell you my own PA, for example, qualified psychologist, can't practice, was in an accident, wasn't his fault, waiting 5 years to be paid. He's still in dispute. I have cases on my desk from people written to me, and I've written to the department, the people administering RF into Queenie as it happens. I never get responses to my letters, and I'm a national member of parliament. So if I can't get a response to my letters asking what is the progress on these claims, and I send letter after letter, I just wonder what luck the public has. So I think there's a problem there in the way the presentation has gone, in that we don't necessarily have a problem. I think to take that long, where real people suffer to get their money, and then in a sense argue that it's not technically insolvent because it's a future claim, is actually incorrect, because it's actual people with actual claims, and we don't have money to pay them. Now my last question is about the fuel levy. Again, I found the slide a little bit unclear. 80 cents in previous financial year, 88 cents in this year, so 10% increase. But if that was so for the full 12 months, then you would have had more than a 5% increase in your revenue. Virtually all your revenue is derived by the fuel levy. And if you look at it, I don't have the page again, there's a relatively small increase. In fact, if fuel levy's gone up by 10%, then the increase in revenue should have gone up by 10%. So I take it the 80 and 88 cents is not an average for the year. It's at some point what that fuel levy was, and presumably then it would have been for 6 months, not for 12 months. But that's just a question of clarity, but I would think to make it more meaningful to the user of a financial statement, perhaps you should be using the average fuel levy over any 12 months rather than an arbitrary point in time, because then you can relate the fuel levy back to the actual gross revenue that's being generated. Thank you, Chair.
I will behave.
changes. Okay, 17.215. Two big changes are other revenue. The revenue seems to have gone up by 127%. Now, that being revenue that's not included, it's playing where all the system money comes from. Buildings that you're renting out, what is the other revenue? I'm not sure how the other revenue is. And then the deficit. The claim is 22%. The page with big red circle, the big red page 19. Those public claims, compensation claims, finalizing things. The big question is, 31st of March 2011 is a blank white page. Would that be an honorable thing that hasn't asked what the numbers are on the blank white page? You know, 248 to 212 to 236 to 100, great. The obvious question is, if I have the previous number, then it might not be so great. The previous numbers would be a big difference. So if I just have those three numbers on the blank page. The funeral costs, we've got quite a lot of legal fees being matched. But the percentage of increase in the funeral cost paid 2011, 2012, 2013 has gone from 20 million, I assume, to 50 million to 70 million. That's nowhere near inflation. Natural increase. Does that mean suddenly you and Blueberry are paying more units of funeral costs? Or you pay much bigger amounts per funeral? I'm not sure what. I mean, I'm not arguing with the cabinet, I'm just asking what is it? Are we paying many more funerals suddenly? Or we paying a lot more money for each funeral? I don't know what the case is. The question I have is the general one about journeys. I've been fairly well convinced in the last 2 years that we spend too much on legal fees. But there are a few ways of beating that. The one way is the way the Warrior has presented to us. I said it was one way of reading the problem that we don't need so much lawyering like taxes. So I think there's probably some merit in that. The other way of reading that is it's not hard for people to take a name. So they just have to get to the lawyer to get it. Or alternatives. And if that tax applies, the claim has been quite small. And they've come back to litigation and they've got more money out. So it says that the funds is reluctant to pay and then people need that money to get the additional money. So there are two sides to that point, and I think that we would prefer not to pay legal fees. I don't think anybody else really would like to pay more money on legal fees if that's ridiculous. But it does raise the question. You know, sometimes
with their own budget when it comes to things, because badminton is finishing with a person involving an athlete on the spot. Can I just add to your so this is why I'm raising the issue of the capacity. You said you are having 2,000 workers, I presume NASA. And if you can take that 2,000 according to your office and the people who must do the work, surely it's a open ocean. With the size of planes that you have and those that are still coming, you can take that 14,000 people die every year. So it means it's a big challenge. There are those anti-orders, accidents also that are happening. So it poses a challenge, the question of capacity, I want to have on that, so that the issue of the interaction with the community through the print and to the public media, the advocacy program, to what extent are you interested in that, the advocacy, was really, you had some of the going up and down, scouting before accidents and so on, and yet if you educate the nation through what you are doing, surely the middleman will not have to pay. But if you are too silent, I'm not saying you're silent, if you do the religion, the advocacy of our community, that would be quite good. I was just trying to make a calculation on 2,148,024 and then minus that from 2,285 gives me 35,000. Or so, 0.9. If you translate that, I'm not sure if that is what you're doing in your team as well. I just want to get some more clarity on that news in the case of that. Otherwise, so far to me, just also in terms of the F, if they are setting deals or F that prohibits you in not executing your function, very well, effectively, you must tell us which are those deals where you need our intervention as lawmakers, because our responsibility also is to make the work easy through the law. So you must tell us and give us also that to plug in them, so that we assist the process, because our people need the citizens of our data yesterday. So I would urge you, you must assist us in that regard, so that assist you to facilitate some of the work through the legal process. Otherwise, I'm covered the question. I'm not going to go down because most of the questions I did raise through the legal presentation. I just say that you must give us the tools to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I get is I am getting it to a very challenge that we are having. And just being sure that I think the quality, maybe quality is to me instead of information. Especially in the
thanks, Shepard, and thanks, members of the committee. There are 27 questions. I will try and get through them quickly. The first one was on legal. The detail is in the annual report, but I think I just talked to you from what I know. We spent 3.6 million rand on legal fees, of which two-thirds were on data, third were on hours and fees. If you look at RM Act, you'll know that we are obligated to pay those costs. Now they all are in the party and party costs are line under it. How does it affect payment? The actual cost, the dollar cost, that comes off, that is held separate. It's a separate line item in terms of expenditure. However, payments are affected by the contingency fee or profit share or risk share, which actually is taken from the compensation. So officially you would know the legal fees are important, which you don't take, but within the compensation amount, anywhere between 25% and 50% of that payment will be taken from what they actually came. Because remember, when you're represented by an attorney, the payment is the trusted outfit. And the contingency will apply. So claimants do get a lot less than what you think they get. In terms of turnaround times for claims, it depends on the nature of the claim. If it's a complicated claim where you have loss of earnings, loss of income, general damages, you can wait up to 1,300 days to pay. It is lower than it has been over the last 5 years. But remember that there's a 2-year wait to get caught up front before anything is done. On average, you see anywhere between 5 and 50 experts being called for by legal representatives, which add to the cost, not just the lawyers. And these things all take time because the specialist will schedule at least 18 months in advance. You must also remember that the current VAT Act has to reach national medical improvement, which is 8 months. So it's just after the process. So there are certain logistical issues which relate to our law, which will prevent you turning a claim around in a short space of time. If you look at simpler claims like funeral, medical costs, we turn those around in that week, an average of 242 days. So we have the ability to show we can do that. In terms of technical insolvency, I know the prospectus put forward. I will start by saying we applied the accounting policy, which is Grant 19, part of our audit, so we have disclosed that information. Second point being, I understand the example about business and showing you what your liabilities are. But similarly, I think the scope for one to consider is, are you only going to pay a claim from last year based on the money you have to pay? Or will you also have to pay more money to go get as you go along the way? I mean, I think that's where the argument, because even the accounting policy separates out what the social benefits from traditional business. It's really to say, if you're obligated by law in an institutional state to pay for service, when that service falls to you, what money are you going to reserve? Are you going to call upon the assets you have in the year to prove? Or are you going to save all this thing from the experience over the last 32 years, that liability has never fallen to you. It's not about RAF or MMF or whatever form you have in performance. It's really just practically within the space of time. You typically will pay not more than 90% of what you get ready. Now, point out that you have cash. So it's not like you can save it. You still have 6 billion rand cash. And we would like to use that. The processing of the backlog comes. On the same numbers, I think it's easier if we just go with it. Remember, incoming claims, it's not like the ones that we close to the ones that came. So if I walk you through this chart, turnaround time, that's when I mentioned the figure of 1,350 shares. That has come down slightly, it's 1,995 in our area. That was reviewed by the Auditor General. So we are curtailing how we pay the thing. You will note, and I think it's important that the committee appreciates it, if we process the backlog well, that average age of the payment bar for some of these data pieces for long time. So when you pay them, it is the whole thing. We will then have to justify that with that form in our annual report. So we are cognizant of that in fact. Because of what the provision for, it isn't just an accident. So possible accidents or accidents which could happen, in fact, accidents which have happened, but not every accident is an eligible claim. There's what the type of passenger you are in the vehicle, or whether it's a single or multiple accidents. So they don't all come into play. It's not like a short-term insurer where the risk of an accident you write a risk of claim. So that is something we also monitor, and we are comfortable always protecting our customers. In terms of systems on turnaround time, your term, the money, we've paid the 1.5 billion rand a month for the last 8 months. If you look at in some months in this financial year, we paid more than we collected. Like I said, we have the 6 billion together with Treasury and DOT, we monitor our expenditure, just to make sure we don't run into problems. That both departments, Treasury and DOT, support the fact that we need to clear the backlog. And if we start depleting the 6 billion rand in our quarterly and regular session, we will then look at what money is funding to pay for the additional amount. In terms of the fuel levy increases, it's not a one for one. And the fuel levy is the price, and the 88 is what the last financial year, currently 96. Treasury has increased by 8%. So finance is announced in the legislature, which will elaborate at last in the financial year. Then the levy can be support. Our revenue is influenced by the levy and how much fuel is for. Now if you look at last year, and if you're describing my report, there are some charts to show you that fuel purchasing in 2012-13 had grown by 6%, but it's smaller than the year before. So that I think is where the numbers come from. It's not a one for one. On the provision and movement, the 20 and the 6, this is really talking about the growth, the change in the number.
So what is the
That's the total, that's the claims provision in terms of what's on our balance sheet. So the 6.4 would relate to how it moved on our balance sheet from 2011-12 to 2013, and the 20 is how it moved from 2010 to 2013. So if you look at the number, I think this will make it practical for you. Here's an easier, straightforward view. The liability, the non-current, the total liability, 2011 is 34 billion. In 2012 is 54, that's 20. Then it went from 54 to 62, and that's where it was. So basically the growth in the liability is a third of what it was in 2012. If you look at the other revenue, I know the percentage is big, but you should also look at the value. So if you look at the 127%, you'll see it's only 120 or so million rand. Our income, investment income was 114 million. Had grown to 259 million, but the percentage is zero. And that growth, the extra 140 or so million, is because of earnings from the cash flow. If we then look at the deficit of 222%, we should appreciate that this is a good change. We went from a loss of 16 million to a loss of 5 million. So that trajectory, we hope, certainly is what we aspire to. Why 2011 and the white space? This is purely methodology, at least 2010. In 2010, there was an issue around an RRF report on the backlog. And what the Auditor General did was, they chose an opening balance when they looked at the closing balance. And then those two values, that number, persisted. But the opening and closing balance of the backlog doesn't take into consideration that things you already have, you may find out. not just for one factor. So together with the AG, we agreed that we didn't know all the history about the relationship. But we agreed that we need to start using all the exchange data from us. And that we have as far back as 2012, and it was rejected to change by then and the other. So now you create an actor going forward rather than a conversation. Because it's strange if you came here and you say, our bankrupt is bigger, that we have calculated that natural facts. In terms of funeral costs, I think we just need to look at the numbers. So if you look at the bottom three rows of the chart, you do see the values, 20 million, 50 million, 70 million. Remember that the RAF going to community is not an old one. It's relatively new. It's about 3 or 4 years that we've been actually going out. So when we started, it was like, you know, as people begin to know we can pay for funeral, they're responding. So if you look at the second line from the bottom, you see average value. It's not PPI, but it's equivalent to some inflation increase in average value per funeral. And then if you look at the numbers, you'll see why you see 2,900 funerals in 2011, 5,312, 6,312. So there were certainly more funerals, which means we are touching more people, attending about us, and they're responding. If you look at attorney fees, the legal fees and the questions about different views, I think if we look at the issue of legal fees, before I respond, I wanted to point out that we're not against you. We are a public entity. We're all public entities. There's no profit content. We don't derive something from lobbying statements or from corporate money. So if the argument is that, you know what, the RAF will never give the system good deal, that argument is applied to you, I guess, for Department of Health, it applies to any other institution. So I think that argument up front is not a problem. I know the history of our area is that you always interacted on behalf of the party. That's how it was done for about 4 years. But the truth is, we're now looking at it as you heard and as you see with the numbers. Do lawyers get you the best? We've done an analysis of the farm that in excess, in both sales, the final payment will be about 10% higher than what we want. Across the board. That doesn't suggest a wrong thing. We need to know those numbers because when we process a claim directly, you have to make sure you're giving people a fair deal. There certainly have been cases where lawyers have come back to sue the RAF saying we have a claim. There have also been cases where lawyers have sued colleagues for getting a claim and I'm sure. So I think we must separate out what is an RAF matter to say and what is really within the personal it's not all about how we pay. Are we reluctant to pay? I think the fact that we reduce our backlog by 50% doesn't suggest that. The fact that we paid 3 million rand more in the last financial year than the one before doesn't suggest that. Do we make mistakes? That's any business we do, and if we have, particularly when we find it. In terms of no fault, why I see no reason why the RA computation practice should not be a computation for injuries and injuries. In terms of the issue of English, we have translated the point that we are in the process of translating all our material into all official languages. I can turn the question around and ask how many attorneys provide services in all official languages. If they are looking out of the interest every day. I think we must be fair in our that. In terms of new targets, it wasn't so much the same number, but there's just new activities. So one of our activities was to forecast accidents, to look at where we think they would happen based on the data. So we want to make sure we do that. So it's not really around changing the number of claims we're going to process that continues us to watch. In terms of access to rural areas and claimants, this is something I think all have been into the graph. So we have mobile RAF, where we have cars, we actually purchased 20 more recently. To go to claimants and make it easier for them to reach us. And I ask to reach them rather than them having time to us. We have the roadshows, we have the call centers. We have community radio stations, SABC radio stations, we tune into Tomela FM and the terms of expanding our regional offices, the first diversion was to make sure we have a presence in each province, because we do. So now that we have that office, we can begin to look at where we put them. I agree the presidential poverty model should be considered. We should consider where accidents happen, but we should also consider where the people in the accident reside. So is the family of a laborer who is injured in Eastern Cape actually lives in Northern Cape? The loss of income, loss of support claim will come from the Northern Cape. So we do need to look at it. The point is taken and we will go around these assessments to our government. On foreigners, our law doesn't exclude foreigners. Anyone using our rules is claimed. So we basically do pay for the claims. They haven't cost us a great deal of money in the last financial year. We do also have a Section 9 or a federal issue or high value claims. We don't have any of the past big multi-million rand payouts. We have put in place an agreement. There are RAF equivalents in Namibia, Swaziland, and Botswana. So we signed the multilateral agreement. And where their citizens are injured in our country, they will just assist us in running that claim and similarly cost for them. So we are trying to get a seamless process across the border. So we have advocacy programs, I think I mentioned it on the radios. Now we have the percentages that really was a reduction from 248,000 to 212,000. Not every claim that we finalize or reduce in that is necessarily a payment. Some are repudiations, some are matters which were previously paid, we just need to update the system. So this changing number will be bigger than the difference between 150 and 150. Legislative change, thank you very much. We will bring what we can. We have a process with DOT. We've met the acting DG 2 weeks ago. We do unfortunately need to look at the old RAF Act. We need to look at the Amendment Act. And we need to process the RAF Act. The two laws don't talk to each other. So in one law, we need to do something with 120 things. In another one, in 90 things. Which creates a problem. On hospital officers, yes, we are learning. Manage our own people, managing our own people in an office where we aren't watching them, data units. So we have performed a review of our hospital-based offices to look at the people, the facilities, the infrastructure, security. We are attending each of the four. And once we've done that, we will then be in a better place to look at. I can't say that this week we actually came. We opened up an office in Aragwana, which took us a long time. And that is a big problem for us. On Flamini, I apologize. I have apologized to the chambers for his behavior. We unfortunately struggled to track down who that was. But in any office, any member of the community or member of the team, if service rendered to you is unacceptable, it's we can't reverse that service, but we can do our best to remain. And it is a service business, and we will continue to work and improve our interest. In Durban in particular, like the RAF, it's an office which has just because. So it was run, we look at a business which is about 4 million rand a year. It was run by one senior manager, two managers, and about 3 years ago. So what we've done in the last financial year, we appointed a general manager, who's the boss of the speaker of this office. We appointed two senior managers, one for payments, one for support. Then under the same senior manager, we appointed 5 managers to make sure we have good supervision on these teams and functions. And one of those managers is what we call a quality assurance manager, where they do spot checks and QA checks on the type of quality of our work. So we're hoping that I think as this financial year goes through, they want a better job they work, and we'll be in a better place to tell you why service is poor and how we're resting. Okay. Until that time, myself and my colleagues are here, email us, of course. That is why we're here. On training staff, we have a training program dedicated to our people. Happened my case that annually. 5 years ago, our staff would never have seen a claim. That is true. They would have spoken to our lawyer, spoken to their lawyer. And there's a lot of change in that too. So it is a process we do have a schedule, and we'll continue to raise ourselves. I think Chairperson, I'm on the 26th question. I think Eastern Cape, I agree with, even when I worked at a medical team, it was always a unique problems because they have so many big towns. So it's not like if you say, no real no problems can do it. In Eastern Cape, you actually have to hit 4 or 5 towns to show you actually have it. And the gaps, the distances between these towns, which is quite big. So we will look at it. We will look at the data and inform how we approach it. If the need is great and not on office, we may put in place mobile or satellite offices. So we have something. The Treasury had actually come to us and asked us to partner with UIF COYA. And I know we're speaking to our colleagues in Rhodes the other day. We all sort of agreed on shared offices. So I think we can set up Chair, and then community awareness programs, jobs, we would take that seriously. I'm pleased to say the moratorium on appointments at the RAF, which had been placed since 2010, was lifted Monday last year. We've hired 313 people since October from executive staff to the rest of the RAF. So we are in our part and also making sure that training and we are reaching any function within the community. We have this. We spoke about churches. The Commonwealth Church is a tabernacle of faith in Johannesburg. This is a big church that has taken roots as one of the programs. We actually have an employee who happened to be a pastor who's going to the church on the weekend to speak about the roots. So it means we must be careful how we will. That's a different process. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
I know our target is the mic. I know 1.9% of our employees are disabled, so we're a little below the target. We do have a repository of disabled people. Together with the Quadpara Association of South Africa, an association of quadriplegic families, we signed an MOU. They have training programs and they do school boards on their members. And we're then able to know what skills they have in people. So when you recruit an institution, we're able to get the right level of person. In the past, we hired trainers directly, but I don't think we have paid enough attention to who we were hiring. And it actually became a bit difficult. We didn't have the right person for the right job. But we are using the association Quasa to find who we can hire. Team lead. A homeless agent in office, the quadriplegic, who was a member of Quadra and works for the RAF as well. So we are beginning to see the plan. And I am pleased to say on Monday, I meet the deputy minister of people for women, children, and people with disabilities in the state of disability, and exactly the same point, which is between ourselves, we know who are disabled, how that service, our sense of inclusion, and we're ready to see how we bring.
move to them and to support.